Hello everyone, welcome back to Holding Fast to Faith. I am your host, Brett Hill, and today we have a great message for you coming out of the book of Psalms, chapter 50, verses 6 through 15. The title of the message today is, Where Do Your Conclusions Come From? Psalms 50, verses 6 through 15. I'm in the King James Version today, so if you don't have your Bible, pause the podcast or get your Bible, come back and join us in the book of Psalms, chapter 50, verses 6 through 15. Where do your conclusions come from? Starting with verse number 6, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Church, the text today is an all-inclusive statement that there is not a thing in this world that does not belong to God Almighty, our Creator, our Lord and King. I particularly love the 12th verse in this passage of Scripture because it says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Why? Who do we think we are that we're big enough or that we know what God hungers for? And the biggest thing of the statement he's making there is not that we could feed him. It's just that he don't need our help. He's created everything. If he wants something to eat, he speaks it into existence. The world already belongs to him, and everything inside the world already belongs to him. God is making a statement to explain to us that he owns everything, including you and I, and everything is at his disposal for his use and purpose without anybody else's approval. God don't wake up in the morning and try to find somebody that he can get some advice from. Matter of fact, God don't need our advice. He swears by himself because there's nobody else greater. The problem that mankind, you and me, the problem that mankind always struggles with is not understanding God at times, but carrying on like we do. Like, you can ask some of the folks in the churches that, I know how God acts. You're not doing things the way God should be doing them. You're not doing things the way God wants you to. This is the way God acts, and this is the way, and a lot of our churches, they lay out services and things like that because this is the way that God wants a service to be done. We carry on all the time like we know everything that God wants to do and understand his every move. There's not a human brain all created, billions of us out there on the planet. If we all took our brains together and took all of our knowledge and resources and tied them all together, we wouldn't even be a drop of water in the ocean compared to the mind and the brain that God himself has. So stop carrying on like you do. Nobody totally understands God. So let me dig in and explain this. The conclusions that I come to are based on the belief that I start out with in my life, and the conclusions that I come to are based on the belief that I have on a particular subject. And what we need to do is get better at doing this. We need to get better at believing. We need to get better at coming to conclusions based on the truth. We need to identify where our beliefs come from, church. We need to look at some things. I heard a lot of people talk to me about some things that would just make your head spin. And I'm like, where in the world do they get this crazy idea? But see, what it is they've not read the Bible about what they're believing. They've listened to Aunt Susie. They've listened to Uncle Tom. They've listened to Great-Grandma and all these other people that have told them things that they've heard from somebody else, and nobody got into the book book and found it out by themselves to find out who Jesus is, to find out who God is, to find out the truth in the situation. So we've got a lot of things in our lives that we believe that just ain't true because somebody else has told us and we've just took it as the truth and didn't follow it. Who taught us to believe that when we mess up, God is mad at us and he's going to punish us? Who taught us that? Where does that come from? Does the Bible tell us that when we mess up, God is mad at us? Does the Bible tell us that when we mess up, that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins? If we just come to him and lay our sins at his feet and ask for forgiveness, doesn't it say that he's faithful and just to forgive us? It doesn't tell us that, oh, God's mad and he's going to punish us right this very minute because we messed up and made a mistake. But there's so many people that walks through this life, they carry on every day, day after day after day, believing that every time that they screw up in this life, every time that they mess up, that God's mad at them. He don't want to talk to them anymore. God don't want to have anything to do with me. He's tired of me asking forgiveness for this. He's tired of me asking forgiveness for that. He's tired of me living the way that I live. He's tired of my flesh because I just can't crucify it. I just can't live perfect, and God hates me. Come on, people, we need to get better than that, and it's the Word of God is the only thing that can change that. Everyone has been here at some point in their lives, too. Even preachers, even this preacher that's talking to you, some of us may be there right now. Some people may think, well, I've just done so much wrong, or I've messed up so many times. I've just got to the place where I just believe God's mad at me, and he's not going to forgive me. But one of the biggest things is so many people look at the Word of God wrongly. They look at it so judgmental and they say, I just can't measure up to it. I'm never going to be good enough. How about this one? God's tired of hearing about my problems. Listen, church, I want to tell you a piece of the truth that Satan would like nothing more than to get us to believe that since we are unworthy, God's patience wears thin on us and he don't have time for us because we just can't be perfect all the time. Satan would love nothing more than us to start believing that and act on that. But it's where we start out with our beliefs. If you start your day believing stuff like that, when you start your day believing a statement like this, your conclusion about God and this life changes. We see ourselves unworthy. We make ourselves believe that God's got the same kind of patience that we do. If we go back to our kids over and over and over and over, stop doing the same thing I keep telling you not to do. You get mad at your kids. You get impatient with your kids. You just want to just haul off and slap them or haul off and throw something across the room or run outside and scream. God's not like that. But we start with our beliefs. We start out with this because Satan tricks us into thinking that every single time that we make a mistake and we are not perfect, just like the Father is perfect, our conclusion about God is different. We look at him different. We begin to look for God's judgment. Excuse me. Listen to me now. When we live a life like this, when we've got that judgmental attitude toward ourselves and we keep seeing God as the wrong person, when we keep listening to the words of Satan, when he influences the way that we believe things and helps us to draw conclusions, we begin to look for God's judgment in places where he's promised us his grace and his mercy and his favor. Come on, if you start out with believing something is always wrong with you. I've met people like this that they just believe that something's always wrong with them. I've got this problem and I never can get it fixed. The more that it comes out of your mouth, the more that you believe it because you keep talking yourself into it, but you'll undermine the great qualities that God has put inside of you if you keep believing that something's always wrong with you. Your focus is always on the wrong. Your focus is always on the mistake. And I got a news flash for you here that you're a human being, that you're made out of flesh. You've got God's Spirit living inside of you if you are born again, but you still live in a fleshly body. You live in a sinful world, and you're going to have some flaws from time to time. You're not going to live absolutely perfect, so get over it. It's not going to happen until you put on your glorified body and you stand in face to face with Jesus Christ. But the more that you continue to believe what the flesh is telling you, the more you continue to believe what the world keeps trying to put in your head and what Satan tries to convince you of, all your actions and all your beliefs and all the things that you keep trusting in that you hear this world tell you undermines the qualities that God has already put inside of you that you just keep holding down and you won't let it come out because your words work strong against him according to Malachi. We need to get our mouth out of the way about the way that God wants us to see him and believe in him and trust him. Let me put it this way. If your approach to the Father, come on now, I want to hit rubber meets the road right here, because if your approach to the Father in heaven, your Father in heaven, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer today, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ and your approach to him is going to the throne room of God like some beggar would out here on the street, sitting on the street corner holding up a sign saying, we'll work for food, need money, I need this. If you approach the Father like a beggar would come to him, come on now, hello? If we approach God like a beggar, then all we're going to be able to expect from him is crumbs from the master's table. You'll be satisfied with crumbs. You start begging the King of Kings, and you're one of his own children. You've been made in the likeness of him. You've been purchased by Jesus' own blood. You've been adopted into the kingdom of heaven. You're part of God's kingdom, but yet you still have a mentality that you're going to approach the throne room like you're some outside beggar that don't belong, and you're just looking for handouts. And then you get in the situation when your life, then all you're going to expect is crumbs all the time. All you're going to expect is leftovers all the time. So we get the conclusion that we come to, they all spawn from the belief that we start out with in our daily walk with God. And if we continue to believe this negativity about ourselves, we continue to beat ourselves down, we don't get into the Word of God and trust him and focus on him and believe what he has said about us in his written Word, then we will always have the wrong beliefs about ourselves. And we'll always have the beggar's mentality in our mindset that, oh, God does not see me worthy of anything. Of course he don't, but if you've got his son inside of you, you're worthy of everything he has to offer. He said, you have inherited the kingdom with my son. You're joint heirs with Christ, but you don't believe that because you don't get into the word and see it and trust it. It's so much easier to believe the negative stuff. I had one person tell me one time, they said, well, as long as I don't ever set my expectations too high, then when I do fail and I don't meet my goal, I don't feel so bad about it. Oh my goodness, come on, church. We got to be better than that. We gotta shoot toward the stars. The God gave us the stars that's hung up in the heaven. All the creation belongs to us. We've inherited that with Jesus Christ. But the devil always wants us to believe that there's something wrong with us. He always wants us to believe that if he can get you to believe that there's something wrong with you, if he can get you to focus on the something that's wrong with you. Come on now, listen to me. If the devil can get your focus on the one single thing that's wrong with you, he'll use the word of God against you to say there's something wrong in your life. You've got impurity in your life. God don't like you. God don't trust you. God don't want to have anything to do with you. You're not perfect. You can't live perfect. So you don't have an audience with the Father. Listen, you go to the book of Job and you can find out that Satan himself has an audience with the Father. Satan himself goes to and fro the throne room and goes up there and makes requests all the time. My goodness, if that cat right there's got an opportunity to go in and out of the throne room and talk to the Father, how about one of his own children that's been bought by Jesus' own blood? Come on, people. We got to get the truth inside of us today. The truth is that God started to work on you way before you ever got here. God started a good work in you. God had a plan for you that was bigger than anything you could imagine way before the earth was ever built here. The truth is Jeremiah 1 and 5, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew who you were. You're my handicraftsmanship. Do you know what that means? Before you were someone God could use, but before you were someone God had to work on, before you were someone that was full of worries, but before you were someone that God's son died for, you were someone that God loved and handcrafted for His glory. He created you just for the very purpose of blessing you. He created you for the very purpose of shining His love on you and looking at you and putting His favor on you and putting His mark of approval and putting the signet ring of the Father upon your hand. Church, He made you for His glory. You're not somebody that He wants to make an outcast because you've got a flaw somewhere. So listen, when troubles invade our lives, we tend to get filled with doubt. We tend to get filled with unbelief. When troubles invade our lives, discouragement comes upon us, and we tend to get down up in ourselves, and we start listening to the things that we're feeling bad about. Our mind hears our subconscious. Our mind hears our disbelief. You don't even have to speak it out of your mouth. Your spirit hears the disbelief. Your spirit inside of you hears the discomfort of the things that you're going through, and then you start believing the things. But instead of coming before the throne room of God with all the knowledge of that stuff, that and coming to the throne room of God believing what the Scripture said, what He said here in our opening text in Psalms 50, that we need to believe that the whole earth is all God's and everything in it. So every answer to every prayer and every provision that we need already belongs to a Father that has adopted us into His family, that has made us joint heirs with Christ because He purchased us with His own blood. Everything that He has belongs to us, and He's not going to leave us lacking anything. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Our human nature is to just sugarcoat our doubts and troubles, and just our human nature is to bury our struggles behind our Christian smiles sometimes and tell everybody that we're doing fine, and just so we don't have to talk about it, we just cover it up. Come on now. Come on. Some of you may be looking at your phone right now like you believe this for somebody else. You got somebody in mind that you're thinking about right there. Somebody that buries their struggles behind their Christian smiles and tells everybody that they're doing fine, but they're really not. But you're looking at the phone, or you're looking at your computer, you're listening to my voice right there like you can believe what I'm saying for somebody else, but you don't believe it for yourself. Uh-oh. Come on now. It's okay to let the rubber meet the road, church. It's okay to believe that this is true for you too, that you've experienced this for yourself too. Listen, we live in a society where every image is everything. Image is everything that we see. But when the image isn't an honest and true assessment of ourselves, come on now. It's just like my congregation at church sometimes. If the toes start getting stepped on, it gets really quiet in the congregation. I hear some crickets out there out in the internet world because people need to be hearing this now. When the image that you have, when the image you see of yourself isn't an honest and true assessment of yourself, well, bless God, He's talking about somebody else. I certainly don't have any of those issues. Come on now. Listen. God started His plan for you before you even got here, and He's faithful to complete the good work that He started. That's not an idea. That's a fact. That's God's promise. It's not something from man's wish list. It's not a Christmas card. It's not a letter to Santa Claus. God actually made you. He had a plan for you. He's faithful to complete the good work that He started because you are one of His children. He bought and paid for you with blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And that plan is going to be fulfilled despite what the rest of the world says about you. So listen, God's made a promise to you, and He's faithful and just to keep His words. Whatever belief you start out with will dictate your conclusion. What do you believe about the Word of God today? What do you believe about yourself today? Has the written Word of God told you something about yourself and you're struggling to believe what it says? Listen to me, church. Whatever you believe, whatever your belief is, whatever belief that you start out with in a situation dictates your conclusion to that situation. Am I a beggar? Am I a reject? Listen, Ephesians chapter 2 says, I'm God's craftsmanship. I'm God's workmanship. We're the workmanship of God. We're His favorite handiwork. What would ever, what, listen, what would your life look like? How different would you see yourself? How much more faith would we have and less doubt would we have if we all started out on the belief that I am God's workmanship? Come on, ask yourself that question. What would your life look like right now? How different would your life look like? How different would you see yourself if you walked over to a spiritual mirror, if you walked over to the world's mirror and looked at your life? How different would it be? How much more faith would you have? How much less doubt would you have if you started out on the belief that I, that person I see in that mirror right now, is God's workmanship. It's His favored prize. It's His best creation. I'm God's most prized possession. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How much different would your life be? How much different would the conclusions that you came to and every issue that you ran into, how much different would that be if that's the way you really saw yourself, like God sees you, like His Word says that you are to Him? How different would your life be? We pass well, let's see. Pastor, what about all these people that's gotten wrapped up in drugs and alcohol and crime and theft and robbery and pornography and lies and cheating and prostitution? Are we supposed to believe that they're fearfully and wonderfully made too? Oh, come on. Yes, they are. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. They're made in the image of God, just like you and me. Yes, they've made some bad choices. Yes, they've sown some bad seed in their lives, but everything that God does is eternal. Every word God speaks is eternal. And Jeremiah 29 says the same thing about them as He does for them. Those folks have the same problems that everybody else has. They draw conclusions based off of the belief that they started out with. It's easy to draw a conclusion that you don't have any worth when you don't know the truth. They're not any different than you and I. Their drugs or their alcohol or their pornography or whatever they believe was true, somebody's lied to them. Satan's lied to them. They didn't get access to the truth, or they didn't believe the truth like they should have, and they didn't draw the right conclusions. They didn't make the right choices to get the right outcomes, but they're still fearfully and wonderfully made, but their minds made the wrong choices. But listen, once a person's belief lines up with God's purpose for them, come on now, just like you and I, there's people out there listening to me right now that your life's been going really good ever since you found Jesus Christ, because you sold out the holdout and you're faithful to Him. You're reading His Word. You're trusting in everything that He says, and you're hanging on to every word that He said, and you're believing that the promises are yes and amen, and you're trusting that every step that you take in this life is already bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And no matter what the struggles are, God's going to go through those things with you. It's easy to draw that kind of conclusion when you're holding on to the faith that God has told you to hold on to. But once you trust in the belief and your personal belief lines up with God's purpose for you, then your conclusions become different than what they used to be. You're a changed person. Your mind has been transformed, and your life has been renewed over time of believing the Word of God. These other people in the world out here, the ones that's gone through so many bad things, those people that's gotten wrapped up in robbery and pornography and prostitution and cheating and lying and alcohol, all types of crime and drugs and things like that. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, they are. God's Word is eternal. When He spoke the same thing over them, that they are His handiwork. They're His prized possession. They just got to get to the place in their own mindset that they believe what God has said about them too. And listen, you may be listening to me today. You may be hearing the words of this preacher today going, I sure don't feel like God loves me. I sure don't feel like I'm God's handiwork. I sure don't feel like God ever looks at me and His favor comes upon me. Well, listen to me. I want to tell you, whatever God says about the people that He created is the truth. He said that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He said that you are His prized possession, and that you can be everything that He says about you as long as you do one thing, that you believe it and act on it. Once you believe His Word, it takes trusting in what God says. It takes believing what God says, and it takes walking it out. James said, if you'll show me your faith, I'll show you my works. I'll believe what the Word says about me, and I'll start walking out my life based on the belief that I started with. I'll start walking out my life based on the things that God has told me that I am. Where do your conclusions come from today? Are you wrapped up in pornography? Are you wrapped up in drugs? Are you wrapped up in something in your life that you know you're not supposed to? Are you addicted to alcohol? What is the conclusions that you're coming from based on the belief that you have? You can believe in Jesus Christ today. You can believe in His Word. You can open up the Bible today, and I'm telling you the truth. You don't have to take my word for it. You can open up the Bible yourself. You can start studying it. You can go into the book of John and look at John 1 and start reading that chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and not a thing was made in this world that wasn't with Him. It wasn't made without His hand being on it. He is the craftsmanship of everything that has ever been created, and He created you. You can go back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis 1 and start reading that He created the land, and He created the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the animals on the land, the trees and the plants and all the food and all the resources that we had. He put a perfect provision for us, and then He made us after He created the perfect atmosphere for us. He loves you. He created you for the fact that He wanted to have a relationship with you so that He could bless you and live in your life. So you need to trust God. You need to put Him first in your life and read the Word for yourself and begin to change the way you believe. You may believe right now that alcohol is the best thing to get your mind off of other things, but you ain't tried Jesus. You ain't tried studying His Word. You may believe that your flesh, the only answer that your flesh has is take another shot of morphine or take some more cocaine up the nose or do some more methamphetamines. You may believe that right now because somebody's lied to you or Satan's told you that that's the best way to drown your pains. But Jesus said, I'm closer than a brother. I'll stick with you. I'm faithful even when you're not faithful. I'm always there for you. If you'll just call out on me, I'll be there. Because He has said in His Word that He's faithful and just. And He died for you. He's always got an outstretched hand waiting on you. And you can turn your life over to Him and you can change what you believe. And the only way you can change what you believe is to read the Word of God. Trust what the Word of God says to you. Trust what this preacher's telling you today. Open up the Bible. Begin to read it. Begin to believe it. And most of all, begin to act upon it. Whatever the Bible tells you to do, just do it. Whether you understand it or not, whether you've ever seen it before or not, learn it as you go. Just walk it out as you learn it and let the Word of God change your life, and He will change the conclusions of every outcome in your life. So you've got to understand, where do your conclusions come from? They come from the things that you base your belief off of. Whatever you start out with, whatever you start believing. If I believe that I'm a beggar, I'm only going to expect crumbs. If I believe that I'm a child of the King, I'm going to expect the best provisions. I'm going to expect the best health. I'm going to expect the best life that I could possibly be given. Why? Because the King would not let His children run down and do without. And that's what God said for you. He said, everything that you'll ever need, I have it for you. I've already made provision for you, and it's yours because I've adopted you into my kingdom. But you've got to believe that in order to receive it. That will change your conclusions in your life today. If you haven't received Jesus Christ in your heart and you believe what this preacher's saying today, I want to pray with you. I want to help you find this Jesus I'm talking to and talking about. So if you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on you, if you feel those nervous tingles, if you feel your blood pressure, you feel your heart pumping a little more, you feel the tug of Jesus Christ on your heart, that's the Holy Spirit telling you that this preacher's preaching something to you that you need to be listening to, and you need to ask Jesus Christ into your heart right now so that you can learn who He is and begin to live the life that He's offered for you. Let me pray with you. Pray this prayer. It don't have to be the exact words, but it needs to come from your heart. For real, with you really meaning what you say, and then turning to Jesus Christ from this day forward and letting Him lead your life. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I need you. I know that I need a Savior. And I know that I couldn't do anything to pay for my own sins, God, and to wash myself clean. So I ask you to come into my life, Jesus. I accept your death, burial, and resurrection as my punishment for my sins and the life that you've given me. Lord, I pray right now that you'll come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Become my King, my Master, and my Lord. And begin to guide me through this life. And show me the direction that I need to go. Show me the belief that I need to have. Help me to trust in you. Help me to follow you in everything that I do from this day forward. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning in today. God bless you. If you prayed that prayer today and you've accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, you should feel like a ton of bricks has come off of your life and you've got a change in your heart today. Get yourself in a Bible-believing church if you're not going to one. Get yourself a good Bible to start reading and find out for yourself how much Jesus loves you and how much what you believe will change the conclusions of your life. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next one.